Amen. Praise the Lord. What a holy night in the presence of the Lord. So great to worship the Lord together and time to look to his word. The message title tonight is, God is able to make you stand. God is able to make you stand. I'm going to begin with Romans 14, verse 4. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Let's read that again. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. What an amazing scripture. One little verse, but there's so much in this verse. Have you ever been criticized? Your motives questioned? Your manner of life critiqued and brought up for discussion? You know, we have a world at war. A world in constant tension. Every opinion so easily publicized and advertised and put out on platforms. Even a Christian culture today that is made up of likes and dislikes, so many opinions, so many judgments, so many innuendos and accusations. Let's settle it tonight. There's no need for us to give an opinion on every person, every politician, every pastor, every event and circumstance. Let's heed Romans 14:4 tonight. Let's heed Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. 3 points tonight. Number one, judge not that you be not judged. Matthew 7:1-5, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank, the 2x4, the 2x6 in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus said, it's a good thing to remove the speck from your brother's eye. But he said, first remove the plank from your own eye. Judge not that you be not judged. Then we have John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance. Again, the words of Jesus, but judge with righteous judgment. Is there a contradiction in these verses? There's no contradiction. First, the Lord is telling us that we can judge with righteous judgment, that we are made to make proper discernments between right and wrong, light and darkness, truth and falsehood. Jesus said, you need to walk with a discerning spirit in this world. In all your associations and relations and everything that comes your way, you need to judge righteous judgment, cut through things in a godly manner. But second, we are only to judge where we have jurisdiction, where we're in authority. That's where Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. He said, don't get caught up in judging where you do not have responsibility, where you are not in authority, where things are not under your administration. We have no permission to judge others or to judge one another from a carnal, critical, negative, self-centered human perspective. This the Bible forbids. Judge not that ye be not judged. James 4:11-12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law of the Lord, the Word, and judges the Word. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Scripture says that when we judge one another from a critical, selfish, human, negative perspective, we are actually setting ourselves above the law of the Lord. We are putting ourselves higher than this word, because this word says, no, that is not to be done. And so we set ourselves higher than the word. This is quite a reproof of the scriptures to us all in our human life and disposition. Remove the speck. Remove the plank from your own eye, Jesus said, before you try and remove the speck from the other person's eye, from your brother's eye, your sister's eye. What is the plank? The plank is a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, a negative spirit. When we have that plank in our eye, that negativity, that judgmentalism in us, we can't do any good to anybody. In fact, we will injure them more if we try and work on their eye, because we can't see clearly. But Jesus said, when you take that critical spirit out of you, then you will see clearly. So you will be able to help other people in their spiritual walk. You will really be able to help others progress and grow, because they will sense the spirit of your genuine love and compassion and the tender help of God in you. This is the way of the Lord. Well, there's probably not a person here who's never been criticized. It's not a pleasant thing to be criticized. And there's probably not a person here who has never criticized others, someone else. But you know, as the Holy Spirit works in us and refines us and sanctifies us, He leads us to a day where we give up that judgmental spirit more fully and finally than we ever have before. And we're set free from that judgmental spirit, that plank in our own eye. Judge not, that ye be not judged. And so the Lord works in us to clear this up in us, to change us, to transform us from glory to glory. He changes us. Number two, criticism can't make you fall. God will help you stand. Criticism can't make you fall unless you let it. This is God's word. Criticism can't make you fall. God will help you stand. Let's look at a few examples tonight. Joseph, Genesis 37, 18 to 20. Joseph and his brothers. Now when they saw Joseph afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. We will see what become of his dreams. Joseph's brother came to steal his dream, came to come against him. But you know what? Their criticism couldn't make him fall. You can't make Joseph fall by your criticism. Brothers, God will make him stand. God will deliver him. God will be with him. God will be true to the word and to his servant. Genesis 49, 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The arms of his hands were made strong by God. There was criticism against him, such vile hatred, but God made him to stand. Criticism can't make you fall. And God raised Joseph up, brought him out of the pit, brought him out from false accusation and criticism and hardship, and put him on the throne of the kingdom. Job endured the spiteful and sustained attack of the devil against him. He lost everything for a period of some months, up to a year, is the indication. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his finances, his livelihood, his reputation. He lost his physical health, and with it, an avalanche of innuendos and criticism and accusation and questionings. Job 6, 14 to 15, Job said, "To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friends, by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty." Even though a man would forsake the fear of the Almighty, God forbid, but there should be kindness shown by a friend. "My brothers have dealt deceitfully like a brook, like the streams of the brooks that pass away." Chapter 16, verse 1, "Then Job answered and said, 'I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end, or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do, if your soul were in my soul's place. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief.'" What a spirit in Job. Such criticism he endured. Everybody turned away from him. Even his wife said, "Curse God and die." And there was estrangement for a season. Such an attack on his life. And people could look from outside and say this or that. His finances, his family, where's his wisdom? He didn't honor the principles of God. On and on it went through the book. But you know what? Their criticism couldn't make him fall, because he was held up by God Almighty. And God brought him out of the trial. God brought him out of the distress, gave him a double portion. And the Bible says, blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And from that point, he lived another 140 years full of the blessing and purpose of God. Criticism can't make you fall. God will hold you up. David, 1 Samuel 17. David came to the battlefield. David had a call in his life, anointed by Samuel, the word of the Lord on him. He came to the battlefield where Israel was facing Goliath and the Philistines. 1 Samuel 17, 22, this young David, mid to late teenage years, came to the battle. It says, "And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers," his older brothers. I mean, how he admired and looked up to his older brothers. And here he was at the battlefield, young man full of zeal, so excited to see the events that was happening. And questions were circulating and about Goliath and the reward of taking him out. And David began to ask some questions, and all of a sudden everything turned from in those brothers, from greeting to criticism. 1 Samuel 17, 28. "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? You're not much. You don't have much. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.'" But once again, criticism couldn't make him fall, because the word of the Lord was in him, the call of God was on his life, and he was dedicated to serve the Lord. And the Lord raised up David, and that day he wrought a great victory against Goliath and the Philistines. And the Bible says God delivered him out of all his afflictions. My, he was criticized at times in his life. My, people came against him. But he says, "The Lord took me through it all, and he did not fall," because God was able to make him stand. Mary in Mark chapter 14, Mary, who brought the alabaster box of the fragrant oil, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as Jesus sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, this very costly fragrance and perfume. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves. Some of the gospel writers say Judas was indignant. And then Matthew said the disciples were indignant. Can you imagine the 12 disciples going up against you? Walked with Jesus, performed miracles for those years with him, closest ones to Jesus, and all of a sudden here she is pouring out everything she has. She wants to bring the best offering, the greatest offering she can. And all of a sudden the criticism started coming. Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii. That was the year's wage of a working man, of a day laborer. 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, see, God is able to make you stand. God in the flesh, the Son of God, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? For she has done a good work for me. Wow, I think of Mary, you know, that alabaster, that perfume, that ointment, worth a year's wages. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were not a wealthy family by all indications. Where did she have enough money to buy one bottle of perfume that cost a year's wage? Well, when you think about it, you know, over the years, if you're wise and careful and look after things, most people are able to save up a year's wage. All those years in that family, saving where they could, storing up where they could. And now it came to the end, and Mary knew there was foreboding and things were happening in Jesus' life. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, her brother was dead, and Jesus had come and raised him up. He'd brought life to that family. He'd brought salvation to that family. She said, what can I do to show that I love him, that he means everything to me? I'm going to take a year's worth of wages out of my bank account. I'm going to take all my savings, and I'm going to buy one bottle of fragrant perfume, and I'm going to go and break it out and pour it on him and wipe his feet with my hairs on my head, and I'm going to bless the Lord. So criticized. They criticized her sharply. But criticism can't make you fall. Jesus said, let her alone. I lift up this woman, and I'm going to give her a name, and wherever the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, this story will be told as a memory of what this woman has done as she poured out her life to me. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? I mean, the only perfect man that ever walked this earth. And look how he was criticized, envied, maligned. They insinuated that he was doing miracles by the power of Satan. He's motivated by the devil. They criticized his teaching. They criticized his manner of life. They criticized his disciples. They criticized the way he was raising up the kingdom of God in that hour, in a fresh move of God. They came against him for things he did and for things he didn't do. But you know what? Criticism couldn't bring him down. God held him up. God made him to stand. And in Matthew 17, at the end of his ministry, these beautiful words, in the Mount of Transfiguration, just before the end, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Criticism can't take you out. God will hold you up. God will make you to stand. Point number three, let's have the worship team ministry come. Number three, know that God is able to make you stand. Know that God is able to make you stand. Take that into your spirit tonight. You know, when we're criticized, when we face criticism, accusation, people come against us, it's easy to totter on your feet. It's not that easy to stand, is it? When criticism comes our way, and it's there, persistent, accusation, maligning, it's not easy to stand. But God will make us stand. Romans 14:4, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Criticism is hard to take. You wonder if you can go on sometimes. But what comfort in this scripture. What comfort. God is able to make us stand. To our own master we stand or fall. It's up to God whether we stand or fall. Now, if we're walking with the right spirit and seeking the will of the Lord, it's up to God whether we stand or fall. It's up to Him whether we succeed or fail. But what an assurance. He will be made to stand. Indeed, He will be made to stand, for God is able to make Him stand. God is able to make you stand. No matter the voices, no matter what you fear or feel. Look at Job. He was criticized even by the devil. Criticized by the devil. You're this and you're that, and your motives are this and that. But criticism couldn't take him out because God made him to stand. Maybe you grew up under criticism. Judgmental thoughts and discouragement. Maybe it put a knock on you. Take comfort in the Word of God tonight. Take courage in the Word of God tonight. Criticism can't take you out because God is able to make you stand, and indeed He will make you stand. Maybe you're facing criticism right now in your life, some area. Maybe at your workplace, maybe in your family, maybe by some friends, maybe by relatives, people around you, and maybe you're facing criticism spiritually and the enemy's coming against you. Take hope tonight in the Word of the Lord. Criticism can't take you out. God is able to make you stand, and stand you will because of Jesus Christ and His care for you. Let's close with 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 13. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. If you'd like prayer tonight for any need or situation, please make your way down to the front to the altar. Prayer team will pray with you. Let's lift up our hearts to the Lord tonight as we close out. Trust this word is ministered to your heart, and Holy Spirit is speaking right now to correct and to encourage, strengthen and build us. Indeed, God is able to make us stand. Indeed, God is able to make you stand. Indeed, God is able to make you stand. Whatever's coming at you from whatever direction of life, God is able to make you stand tonight. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord.